Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk, inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we jokingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the light workers, and you answer that call from all walks of life and from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We all go by different titles. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querents, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and the list, well, it goes on and on and on and on, and it is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution. So sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love and the light and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, and I do welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase energy and brighten all of our personal lights. I'm going to be doing readings soon, so if you want to sign up for one, you have to call 347-857-2139. Ginny is absent without leave. Apparently, the universe did not want her to be on Blog Talk today, so he took out her entire internet, and she is sort of sitting around grinding her teeth and cursing a guy for whatever good that'll do her. I am handling all aspects of the show today, so if you have questions, Isabel might be able to answer them, or maybe not. So just give Isabel a shout out if you have a question of some sort. She is pretty up on just about everything, and I will try to keep her sort of apprised of how many people are in the queue and stuff like that. If you want to get a hold of Ken Quiet Hawk and his amazing voice, he can be found at nativestorytellers.com. I'm at barbaradelong.com. And James Luce, who is supposed to be here today, has not yet shown up. But if God's willing and the creek don't rise, hopefully he'll be around soon. And if not, you know, certainly I can carry on. I did this show a long time without other people, you know, helping me. So I think that it's not all going to fall apart. I do want to sort of start this out with talking to you a little bit about the energy of 2012 and 2013 and what we have yet to come. 2012 was, of course, that period of time where many thought the world was going to come to an end. And for those of you who did not notice, it did not. And yet, it was the end of a grand cycle, and it was also the end of life as we know it for a lot of us. Not that we died, but that life changed, life shifted. There was a new paradigm we're working on, new energy, so that in many ways the Aztecs were right and you know, some of the fanatics were semi-right, but not totally, of course. So what we had this year was a whole new perspective on life as we know it. And for many, it wasn't a fun one. Now, there are two groups of people that I'm talking to here. I'm talking to those who are spiritually oriented, and then I'm talking to those who are more in the physical part of their reality and more focused on the physicality of their worlds, and then, you know, back to those who are aware that there is an energetic change and that things are shifting and that we flow with that and things are phenomenal. Now, I've done predictions for 2014, and it's up on my website. There was an overview, and then there is a forecast for every month. And I found that this year, doing them was more educational for me than it ever has been. I mean, I've always learned stuff from it, but it seems that there was a new energy here. And I want to share with you the overview because it really does give you an idea as to the difference between the physicality and the spirituality. And if you're one of those that's in the physical realm totally and not into the spiritual stuff, you may want to rethink your process and maybe aim a little more towards spirituality. So this is the overview for 2014. It's going to be a year of shifting and change for not only us as individuals, but the planet as well. There are going to be above average storms of all types, as well as an increase in natural disasters such as earthquakes, tsunamis, and volcanic eruptions. Blame will be put on many different causes. The reality is that all will be to blame, and we will find that the environment, Mother Nature, is going to prove to be most challenging this year and frustratingly uncontrollable. Even though there are those who think they can manipulate, those individuals are going to make catastrophic errors that will not only cause disasters but will set in motion elements that are irreversible. Instead of earning acclaim, they will find themselves hiding from even close friends. There's an unsettling aspect to this year as far as governments and political situations are concerned. There may be many outbreaks of civil unrest all over the globe, and the U.S. will not be exempt from these. There's a great dissatisfaction for the State of the Union, and there will be many attempts to alter and change the status quo, some requiring military intervention. That which has simmered under the radar is going to erupt into common view and with most interesting results. There will be new faces and names coming to the fore with solutions, and an unknown will emerge to be a front runner, much to the surprise of the establishment. The economy will still struggle and have bursts of recovery only to slip back when no one's looking. While the charts and numbers can be used by all to their individual preferences, the reality will be that the housing market will remain about where it is now, and the job market will most probably stay the same as well. It appears that the consciousness of humanity is so used to being manipulated by the establishment, it does not remember to question and hold accountable those who abuse the power that they have bestowed upon them. The masses will be complacent no longer, and fractions that have been quietly gathering will find their voices and call to question those who abuse their offices, no matter how lofty. Watch for molds to be broken and voices to be found. One who leads will not be followed, and tradition will be broken so that balance is restored. The skies hold, new questions and information long held will be revealed, and changes long overdue will occur. Knowledge and wisdom find their way into the public domain and shake the foundations that were once thought to be carved in stone. New awareness awakens, a shift of focus, and history takes on new light and meaning. What was once thought to be fact becomes fiction, and fiction, fact. A world turned upside down only to finally find truth that has been hiding in plain sight. That's that's a mini overview. And sometimes, I know it sounds a little dire, but the reality is it's not dire. And there are lots of wonderful changes coming our way. And it's a matter of understanding that there is a flow, there is an energetic that is going on here that is most profound. And we have new energy. And the reality here is that those things that we basically have assumed were carved in stone, that we assumed were absolutes, are turning out to not be so much that. And we have to be willing and ready to be open to embrace the shifts and changes that are coming our way. They're not horrific. They're just enlightening. And lots of times when we come to time frames like this, and the last time we had one of these time frames was when we came out of the Dark Ages. And you know, that was a time of wonderful enlightenment. That was a time of amazing productivity. It was a time in which science and the arts just exploded all over the place. And we have that potential here. But, you know, it needs to also be applied to our everyday lives, those things that, you know, we've come to a time where we've been there, we've done that, we aren't going to do the same old, same old. So where does it go from here? How can we stretch? How can we reach? How can we go outside our boxes? This is going to be a decade, at least, if not more, of throwing away the darn box and just experiencing the wonder and the excitement and the absolute astonishment at what we are capable of if we're not restricted by our own intellect. And that's probably our biggest, the biggest stumbling block we have is our own intellect, because we often think we can't do something instead of knowing that anything is possible if we apply ourselves and reach for it. So it's going to be a time where we're all challenged, and yet it's an exciting time, and it's a time in which I hope that all of us are going to be astonished by how much we have that we can expand into. This is a time where the sky is literally the limit, and it's not even the limit, because the sky is going to hold answers for us too. The stuff about extraterrestrials, if any of you listened to the show that I did last week, Thursday, with Lynn Buss, he was talking about how even the Vatican is now finding the Vatican has accepted the fact that there are extraterrestrials, that they have been around for a very long time, and it's rewriting a lot of its doctrine and a lot of its philosophy and a lot of its interpretations with that in mind, so that you know, if even the Catholic Church is in here and willing to expand and to stretch itself into those realms that we thought were science fiction, it's going to be a fascinating year, decade, couple of decades for sure, and we're going to wake up to finding out things that have been hidden from us. And you know, a lot of us have suspicions that it's out there, but basically what we're looking at here is an amazing, it's disclosure. It's not full disclosure by any means, shape, or form, but it is greater exposure than we have had before to some of the occurrences and some of the information and certainly some of the wisdom and treasures that have been hidden from us for a very, very long time. I suspect the Vatican has some information there that it hasn't released yet either. So it's kind of going to be an interesting time for all of us to see as things start to evolve. There are all sorts of wonderful articles out there on the internet, and I urge all of you to sort of go out and do some investigation on stuff, and please question everything. Question absolutely everything, because the more you question, the more truth you find. And if you just accept things at face value, you are absolutely, in many ways, depriving yourself of information that could be very important to you at some point in time. When I taught school, I loved children that kept asking why, because it made me reach, it made me stretch, it made me find information that I wouldn't have looked for in any other circumstances. and it keeps you alive. Don't accept things at face value, and especially when it comes to politics and even religion. Question, research, prove things to yourself. Don't accept any, and I'm not saying you're going to call anyone a liar. I'm saying just prove things. Just satisfy yourself that there is validity behind what people say to you instead of just accepting it without question, because questioning is what's going to get us to what is the absolute truth. And an absolute truth is something we may be a very far, a long distance away from, but absolute truth is what we're all seeking. We want to know where we came from, why we came from there, what our destiny is, what our purpose is, why are we here, what are we doing, and spiritually speaking, what is out there that calls to us so amazingly that we haven't been able to put a finger on, and yet we've woven stories around it, we've called it by all sorts of names, there are fables, there are mysteries about are real, where we really came from. And I'm not saying that people are lying to us. I'm just saying that the vocabulary to explain truly where we came from isn't ours as of yet. So we have to take the stories and the fables and the made-up explanations to a certain degree, but we have to always question, and we have to understand that the vocabulary to describe what true creation really was is not a part of us yet. So that you know, it's going to be something that we unfold. It's going to bloom. It's going to absolutely start to unfold before our very eyes, and it may be many, many lifetimes before the absolute truth is out there. And I think that digging is something that will take tens of thousands of years to really find the absolute truth. I'm not sure we actually will, but at least it's a journey. At least please question, please get why in your head, and always, always ask it, because it makes for so much more interesting conversations rather than, okay, and then let's move on. Okay, so we've got some people here in the queue that have called in for readings. If you are interested in getting a reading, the number's 347-857-2139. And do call in and get in line. Jeannie won't be screening you, so I'll just be answering the phone and calling out numbers. So we've got...
They're verified. If
we've
I
got... Hello there.
So,
Walmart.
310. Hi. Who do I have here?
This is Vince from Los Angeles.
Hi, Vince. How can I help you?
I was just wondering if you see me getting a job soon. Because I worked for a long time, and my unemployment's about to run out, and God knows what I'm going to do with no money coming in and bills piling up. Last week I did go for testing for a job at a GM plant, and then I had a phone interview with them on Friday. So he said it's going to be a while before they get back to me, but I'm just wondering if you see me getting that job or something coming real soon.
Well, from what I can see here, I have cards out for you. I do feel that a threshold has been crossed. I do feel that by the end of December, something does come up for you. It does feel that there the angel realm is working for you. You have total freedom as you come into the February timeframe, so that the burdens that you are carrying now won't be as heavy as they have been. Certainly, you have some catch-up to do, and that's going to take you a while, but it does feel as though work is coming your way. The job I see coming to you initially is not exactly what you thought it was going to be, but it is something that you can do. It does feel as though it gets your foot in the door is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I want, at least to pay the bills. I can either keep looking or keep progressing into what I really want to do. So, but I just want something I can pay the bills and take care of things. And, you know, and the fact that I just took in a homeless 7-month-old cat that I had to get some work done at the vets and everything. So, and I don't want to lose her. She's really precious. And you know, she just showed up at our door 2 months ago, and we've been taking care of her since, and you know, so it just means the world to me, just being able to pay the bills and being able to keep her and take care of her and everything, you know, as pet owners should.
So, well, I, you know, it's interesting. I think that from what I can see here and from what I feel, that there is definitely the angelic realm working with you and for you, and that you're going to have. It feels like you will get a job before the end of the year. It feels that there is a second. There is. It may be for a time you're doing two different jobs, but working.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like you may have two jobs that together, you know, are one job. So I would be open for whatever suggestions they have, so long as you get your benefits and stuff like that with it. I feel that you know, as far as you're going to hold your breath until February, but you will be working. You will have a job, and you will catch up. But do understand, you know, please, this is no time to book a trip around the world or anything like that.
No,
this
I have
time
no
intention
of doing so. So, I just wanted to find out, in the meantime, while I'm working, do you see this job at General Motors coming through?
The first job that I see coming through is not exactly what you expect. The second job that you and I do feel you're going to work two jobs for a while. The second job does feel it is in your field, so
okay.
I'm not sure. I can't tell you if it's the one that you interviewed for or if it's another one, but there are definitely at least two jobs here for you. The universe does not want you to go under, and I don't believe you will. But you're going to really have to put your shoulder to the grindstone here. But, you know, taking care of a baby is a wonderful thing, and the universe rewards people that are kind to cats. You know, you're speaking to a lady who has eight of them. So
right.
you know, there is a sucker born every day.
Yeah, I know.
but there's something about a cat that you just can't, you know, you just, especially kittens, they definitely, you know, pull at your heartstrings.
Yeah.
I feel you're going to be okay. I really do.
I just
feel that please be open to anything that is in your field. Don't become a princess here and say, oh no, that's not what I wanted.
Right. No, I'm just going to take what I can grab right now, and you know. So I just got a call from a company this morning that they're going to submit my resume to this company, and it pays like $15 an hour, and I don't know if I'll get it or not, but you know, at least it's something.
Yeah,
so.
and that's the important thing. You know, it is to get the money coming in and create a flow. And once you have a flow going, then everything, you know, you have strength when you're coming from a job. When you're coming from unemployment, you don't have the same strength. And I do
right.
feel you're going to come from strength, you know, after the first of the year. So. Hang in there. You're coming. You know, you're kind of right around the bend from everything falling into place for you. It's not perfect, but it's a start.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling. Take care
All
now,
right.
and have a great holiday.
You too.
Okay. Tough time of the year. Tough time of the year for everybody. The element of finding jobs. And I want to talk to that for a minute here. The traditional job market is changing greatly. And I mentioned earlier about going outside the box. It's really important that everybody who is looking for a job be very flexible and kind of open yourself up to the fact that things are no longer custom made for everyone. We have to custom make them for ourselves. So follow your passions, follow your talents, follow your joys, and allow the universe to steer you in the direction that is appropriate for you. Many people out of work now need to totally take a look at what it is they really want to do if they grow up, and move in those directions. The universe doesn't want people to get locked into cubbyholes anymore. Cubbyholes are going out of style. You don't want a cubbyhole. You want something that is specially designed for you. And you have to understand where your passions and talents and skills are in order for that to happen. So this is a time of self-examination and stretching yourself into a reality that is changing for everybody. So be inventive. It's really amazing. So we've got 916-206 here. Hi, this is Barbara. Who is this?
Hi, Barbara. This is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Last time I talked to you, I was still in Sacramento, and I was looking for a woman who had a room who had lost her business and was sick. Well, and then I called you, and James gave me some ideas of where to book. Okay, this is what happened. After 2 days of searching, I couldn't find it. The person, this came from a dream, and then talking to another psychic who told me to start looking, and then I called you when I was down there, and the Hawks came in when I was talking to James. I want to tell you, you said something really right there. You told me that it looked like New Orleans, and there I was in Sacramento. Okay, this is where I ended up. I ended up in Fort Myers, Florida. The woman who was ill, who lost her husband, who had a room and needed me to help her, was my daughter.
Oh, my gosh.
And from the sky, the Fort Myers, Lehigh, Sanibel, Captiva area does look like New Orleans because it's on the Gulf. And
okay.
It's so you had seen the right kind of terrain. But then James was saying it had to be Midtown or something. Well, she is Lehigh area off of Fort Myers. So but this whole scenario of everything that I was looking for in Sacramento. And then, see, I was tired of looking after 2 days. And, I mean, I was really tired. I had to ride the bus to get downtown and look after 3 days. And on top of explaining to my guides, now, I really believe that I should have found it by now. I've worked really hard. And then I just threw this in because I was kind of mad. And I haven't even talked to my daughter for 6 months. Are you happy about that? The next day she called me. Her husband died. They got this rare, like, bird flu type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long story, so maybe I'll have a show about it you can listen to. But she's been so sick. Even her teeth broke. She lost 150 pounds. And it's like he died, but she wants to live. So I'm here nursing her back to health. I'm a holistic nurse with naturopathic experience, so Dr. Naturopathy. So then before I left, I just held up signs. I need to get to Fort Myers. I need to take care of my daughter. And money just poured. Everybody, even if they were just giving me a dollar, every person who pulled out, and I could see their hearts open like they'd never done this before, didn't know how to give money for a situation like this. And I ended up with $250, so I got her and bought all the holistic stuff. We got her started on the foods, the enzymes and oils and everything that she needs naturopathically, but I've had to sort of force feed her, and she's had a slight improvement. So that's probably my question is she going to, I think she's going to come back to life. What do you think?
Your daughter.
Yeah.
I think that she's abused herself horrifically, and she's sort of, there's a lack of self-esteem here. I think she's got some internal work to do. There's healing to do, and she's of course mourning. She's experienced a loss in her life, and the first year after something like that is horrific. It does feel as though there is internally great strength here, so that she can pull herself out of it. It's something that she has to do, and it's something she has to want to do. And right now, it just feels like she's exhausted. It feels like she is so tired; it's unbelievable. And she, it's an energy that I'm seeing her needing more than anything else. Here, is she eating appropriately?
Well, now she's that I'm here, but she was to the point where she couldn't even swallow because of losing the teeth. The pictures of whatever infested her, because they got bird mites in this house. They built a brand new house next to mosquito control, at landing. So the mosquito control planes were going over the house and they weren't paying attention while the house was being built. So they ended up, and I'm really thinking, and I don't know if they'll tell you yes or no, that this is what they got that made them so sick. They both got real sick. Did it come from samples? Because they bring samples into mosquito control all the time, samples from all over Florida. So I think she got, their house got with the bird mite. Ended up giving them this horrific flu, and you know, I'm not sure that it was how it came to them.
I think that that both of them had compromised immune systems, and I think that there may have been a leak of some sort, and that you know, her husband apparently had some physical problems to begin with, so that it was difficult for him to fight it off, and ultimately he wasn't able to. It does feel as though it's not something that I would say, you know, yes, yeah, sue and try to get some money out of them, because that
no,
would not
no, no, I wouldn't do that.
But what I'm feeling here is that she certainly is going to be able to come back from this. It's going to be a very slow process. And had she not experienced the loss of her husband, it probably would have been a little faster. But I think she's mourning a shift in her life, and she's mourning a loss of a dream, and that there's a lot emotionally going on top of the physicality. So I would be very gentle with her, and I would definitely give her the time and space she needs. When did her husband pass?
Yeah, well, it's just been 3 weeks. It took me, you know, a while to get here. Her brother did get to come up, and he cleaned everything that belonged to her husband out of the house, so that was helpful. But, yeah, it has been tragic, and she was a good wife to the point where she was codependent. So she does have to get her self-esteem. You're right about that. But I wonder just physically, body.
It's amazing. If the spirit is strong, the body will gather strength from it. She's you've got to give her time. And it's not something that you can talk her into. It's something she has to search for and find within herself. So give her time, give her space, give her lots of chicken soup or whatever is appropriate. And try not to talk to her about everything. Let her start conversations. Let her be the one that directs them. I know that you have a ton of ideas and philosophies, and you just want to pour it all into her. And you know, that would be a huge mistake.
Oh yeah, she already knows my ideas and philosophies. She kind of grew up being the only one who understood me.
Okay, well, give her time and space, because she really needs the time and space, and just give her the gentle support that she needs. I do feel it's going to take her a good 6 months. I don't see, you know, her really feeling, you know, really stronger and stuff like that until probably March or April, and it isn't until the summertime that I see her really getting back to her old self, and then she's going to pick it up and she's going to be terrific. But until then, you just, you know, be a good mom and be supportive, and I think you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, and she's taken all the healing stuff really well, because she, you know, she knew I was a holistic nurse and doctor of naturopathy, and I could do that stuff. So in the beginning, it had to be, you know, you said you wanted to live, or you're really going to do it. Just one shot glass at a time would she eat. So she's really decided to live. So I think that's going to work out. But see, there was this problem of him getting so sick. She thought he was paying like the life insurance and everything, and he wasn't. So he has no life insurance. Is there any way, if she gets a lawyer, that will be worked out, that she just pay what was due, or is that just gone
too?
No,
that's gone. That's gone.
That's what she thought. So her door's closed for all the work she did supporting the man. I actually think that it was his karma. And she that stood by.
Nope, we all pass. We're pulled to relationships for a reason, and we pass when it's our time, and it was obviously his time. I don't think it's her time. So, I think you're going to find that she starts, you know, to kind of get more spiritually oriented, more towards summertime. But I do have to move on, because I got other people here.
But thank you.
Hang in there and be a good mom.
Oh, I am. And I just want to let you know you saw the right scenery.
Thank you so much. I love feedback.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. You know, that's something. Sometimes when people are asking for locations and stuff like that, we can see part of it, but we don't know. Sometimes I see a map, and sometimes I'm able to sort of pinpoint states, those that I remember where they are on the map anyhow. But sometimes you just get the local scenery, and you have to try to figure out where the heck it is. So it is a tough thing, and especially when you're talking to spirit. Spirit isn't always supportive of us as far as needing an actual address. Matter of fact, I've never gotten an address, so that's par for the course. Okay, we've got 724-337. Hi, this is Barbara. You're on the air.
Hi, Barbara. My name is Missy.
Missy, hi. How are you today?
Good, good. I just wanted to know what you saw as far as Casey and I going into the future.
Okay, Casey is, I take it, not your dog, but somebody you're going out with.
Yeah.
Okay, and how long have you guys been together?
He's a romantic interest. I've known him for quite some time, since we were younger.
Mm-hmm. This is very new, is it not?
You could say that.
It actually hasn't happened yet, has it?
No, I mean, certain aspects of it has.
I'm not seeing what I would... I'm seeing a friendship, and I'm seeing... But I'm not seeing a relationship at this point in time. As of today, I am not seeing what I would call a relationship here.
Okay.
I mean, you know, there's a good friendship and you know, there's stuff like that. But it feels like you guys have, I know you know each other, and I know you've been around each other. Are you dating this guy now?
Yes. I mean, I'm dating him. It's not like we live in two different states. So, I would say we were dating, but we're not
okay.
Like exclusive or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, that's where I'm having difficulty with this, because I feel that how do I put this? I feel that there is attraction here.
Okay.
But because there's not exclusivity, I'm not sure. I can feel your attraction. I know the direction yours is going in. His seems to be split, so there may be other people that he is dating as well now. So, right now there is not what I would consider a relationship. My feeling is that you have in past lives been together. There have
mm-hmm.
been relationships in past lives. You're remembering them and thinking that this could become something like that. And I don't think so. I think that there is definitely, let me throw some more cards here, because I really
sure.
feel strongly that what you're feeling is a remembrance of lifetimes past, and there are like at least four or five different lifetimes that you guys have been together. So there is a very strong bond here. But if you're looking for the romantic kind of love that a relationship is built upon, it does not feel like that. And
okay.
It does feel to me as though you have at least two more people coming into your life reasonably soon, and both of them are more relationship oriented than this guy is. I want to tell you to not put all your eggs in one basket. I want to tell you that I would if I don't know how old you are, but I'm going to talk to you like a mother.
Sure.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't invest yourself emotionally too much. Certainly, you know, go as far as friendship, go as far as, you know, having fun on the phone and stuff like that. But when it comes to making changes in your life, please don't. Because this person does not have the strength that you want and that you need. This is not a person that is, you deserve somebody who is going to not worship you so much, but that is going to appreciate you greatly, that is going to value you greatly, that is going to treat you as you deserve to be treated.
Okay.
This person, the person you're talking about, is not that person. He's kind of, pardon me, I'm sorry if I say the wrong word, but he's a flake.
Okay.
And I don't feel that I don't want you to trust him too much because I don't want to see you hurt.
Okay. Yeah, you know, and he's actually, I don't know if, I mean, it could have been the past lives too, but we actually were high school sweethearts. So that might have been where you saw that part at. But, you know, we're in our 30s now. And, you know.
Yeah, you know, I
wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, my feeling here is that there is a little bit of desperation in you. And, and when I was in my 30s, I felt that desperation too. It passes, by the way.
Right.
So there's no need for you to settle for less than you actually deserve. And this would be settling big time. And you will be hurt if you decide to invest too much in this. It's a great friendship. You have lots of great memories together, so that there's a familiarity here that is really, really good. You've been brother and sister in past lives as well, so that you have that aspect of a connection here. So please, please, please understand that it is a form of love, but it is not what you're looking for. It is not, you know, soulmate type stuff. He's not making the effort that you want to have somebody make to be with you.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
I hate to say it, but I'm gonna. It'll fill your free time until these others turn up. But don't invest too much. Do not try to make it into something it is not. You know, if it evolves into something, which I don't think it will. But if it did, then fine. But he's not. He's not willing to make whatever shifts and changes would be needful to make this work.
Is there a void of feelings on his part?
Or
a lack of, or whatever way.
You know, and again, I apologize to men all over the world, but I'm. And I love men. I do. I like men very much. I like men.
Right.
I truly do. However, for the most part, they're rather one-dimensional. And what you see is what you get. So that he's not, you know, he's not. And I know what you see is not what you want.
Well,
and,
you know, it's weird because he came in town last weekend, or Thanksgiving weekend, and so when, this is what, to be honest with you, I think I've always carried those feelings still,
mm-hmm.
And so whenever I'm around him, it's always, maybe seems like it's like a passionate type of situation, and it's, but, you know, I don't, maybe it's not, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
Well, I'll tell
but
you
I, you know, I don't.
You know, things that are short term often are very passionate. But if you want
right.
long term, if you want something that is going to last a lifetime, it's going to be, you know, it's got to have a steady flame. It can't flare. And I'm all for
right.
passion too. I think passion is great too. But this doesn't feel like it's right for you. And I don't often, you know,
right.
I'm not often quite so strongly about things like that. So, you know, normally I'd say give it a chance and see where it goes, but don't invest yourself in this. I see two new people coming into your life before springtime, and it does feel as though they are more present in your life, and they are definitely more seriously interested in having a relationship and building a life with someone, and that's what you want.
Okay.
So, and you can't lose anything by not investing too deeply in this.
Right. Right. And I probably have already, to be. But you
well,
know.
Yeah.
Hey, you know.
But he does not wear his emotions on his sleeve. You don't really know where his emotions are.
Right.
And if that's the case, you don't want to have to dig, and you don't want to have to ask questions. You want something to flow naturally, and it's not.
Right. Right. That's true.
So, and you can't make it work that way. You know, trust me on this. I am an expert. I've tried. It doesn't work. You know, learn from my mistakes. Make your own. But I've made this mistake a number of times. So, you know, when a man is truly in love with you, when he truly has feelings for you, they show them. They truly do.
Right.
And if it's not there, if passion is there, that's fine. That's wonderful. Passion is great, but it doesn't last long, and you have a whole lifetime. And frankly, you know, it's nice, but you can't live a life with it.
Right. Okay, but you do see in the future.
Absolutely. Two new ones coming in, and they're fresh blood. They have been out of relationship for over a year. They are emotionally stable. They are secure financially, and they have jobs. I mean, what more could you want? And you are attracted to them.
Okay, good, because that was my next question. Right.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't work if you're not attracted to them, for gosh sakes. Yes.
Yeah.
Let the universe present its best case, because this is not it.
Okay.
You call me
all
back
right.
And let me know how it goes.
I certainly will. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Relationship. Tough thing. Okay, we've got 703-858. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tina. I just wanted a general reading.
Okay, Tina, no problem. Happy to help you on that one. You're at a time here where it feels as though you are birthing a new aspect of yourself, and it feels as though this is a very new thing for you. It does feel as you get into the January time frame, everything kind of goes crazy in a good way. It feels you're really overscheduled, you're overbusy, you say yes to just about everything, and you overwhelm yourself and exhaust yourself totally. You don't die or anything, but you really need to take vitamin pills before January and keep it going, because things do get very, very busy as you come into the January time frame. February has new understandings of yourself. It has you moving in new directions. It has you understanding a lot more about yourself on a spiritual and intellectual level. And so there is a stretching that's going on here. I see you with a lot of books. It feels as though you're going back to school on some level. Quite possibly not an official program, but certainly workshops and classes and things like that, because there is definitely a need to kind of get the cobwebs off the brain and stretch it a little bit more to grow, to expand, to get a few more tools in your tool belt as far as not only your physical reality, but your spiritual reality as well. Body, mind, spirit comes together in the March timeframe. Feels as though you're working on and creating a new totality within yourself. You're looking at enhancing the gifts and the talents that you've brought into this lifetime. And as you come into the April, there's a lot of spirit energy around you. It feels like, spiritually speaking, that there is definitely a grandparent here. Feels on your mother's side. It feels as though April is a time frame where it was important to her. Springtime flowers, things like that. This is a lady who loved flowers, who loved gardens, who liked to cook. She was an amazing lady. And she seems to be around you quite a bit of late. It feels also as though as you move into the May time frame, you've got a lot of Piscean energy here, a lot of water. and it feels as though there are pieces of a puzzle coming together. You're working at pulling pieces together. You're working at finding answers to things. It looks as though you have questions in your head about life as we know it, and it seems like you are finding those answers and sort of putting things to bed, tying up loose ends, and being able to sort of walk into new directions. As you come into June, there's a sense here of what you've sent out returns to you greatly magnified. The old thing about, you know, what goes around comes around, what you send out returns to you, that old, all of those little adages all rolled up into one. It feels like it's a harvest time for you. It's a time in which you are coming into a greater understanding of yourself and it, in many ways coming out of the closet, so to speak, and allowing people to see the real you. You've been hiding kind of in the shadows for a while, and it feels like this is a time where you're coming out more into the sunlight and you're celebrating the fact that there is a greater freedom of spirit inside of you than there ever has been before. Summertime looks actually very, very interesting. It feels like July is a time where you're going to find yourself focusing on taking care of you, on pampering yourself, on giving yourself vacations and days off, and just sort of taking care of those things that you know other people haven't taken care of for you. It feels also as though there is, as you get into August, this Phoenix rising energy here where you're really letting go of the things that don't work. You're letting go of those aspects of life that really don't fit you anymore. And this means that you're going to sort of be moving outside of your zone of comfort and allowing yourself to stretch and to become and to embrace more abundantly the new people coming into your life and the new possibilities and the new potentialities. As you get into September, there's a feeling here as though work is really important for you. You seem to be focused on putting your shoulder to the grindstone. And September is a time where you are working on making changes. You're working on new aspects and new probabilities. And it does feel as though that September is also the time frame of that which we do not know about ourselves. And it feels as though here The aspect of school comes up here again as though going back to school is really important to you. So there are aspects of your life that you're going to want to expand upon, and it may take some classes of some sort in order to kind of get the credentials that you want and need in order to move forward. October is a time in which you kind of are looking over a lot of the lessons that you have survived to this point in time. You're looking at some of the difficulties, the troubles, and the hurdles that you've been through, and understand and begin to understand the purpose to them and how they made you a better person and how they made you a greater benefit. You are a greater gift to humanity than you were beforehand, so that it is every difficulty that you've ever been through has strengthened you, has made you stronger, has made you a better person, and the insight and the understanding of the fact that they have tempered you in many ways and made you a more compassionate, empathetic person as well. Really, you're not going to write thank you letters to anybody, but it is an understanding that no matter how difficult things have gotten, you have always managed to come through them, and you always will. I don't think that things are ever going to be as difficult as they have been in the past, but always we're going to have lessons and things that we have to struggle through. So it's really important you understand the fact that if a difficult lesson is in front of you, then that means you must be pretty great, because otherwise you wouldn't be given anything quite that difficult. November has a lot of spirituality in it. There's a lot of spiritual understanding and awareness and expansion here, and it does feel you're stretching yourself intuitively and understanding, how you address your reality and how you treat the people around you. It appears that you have been from time to time upset about the way people treat you, and it really is, that's a mirror for you, so that if you don't like what is being said or how people are treating you, you need to change yourself so that they have to change how they interact with you as well. It feels as though this is a year of growth, a time in which you really come more and more into your own, and it's a time in which you kind of step out of the shadows. Looks like it's going to be a really good year for you. Okay.
Oh, that's good. I was going to ask you, do you see me having surgery?
What would it be on?
Well, I had cancer, and I have to go back in.
Is this for a test or is this something new?
They're going to repair something.
Well, you know I'm not a doctor, right?
Oh, yeah. I just wondered if I was going to go in. Right now they're deciding whether they should go in or not.
I think they're going to want to wait a while. I don't think there's anything. I don't think they've made up their minds.
Okay. Okay. I just wondered.
They're watching stuff, right?
No, when I had cancer, they had to do a couple things, but they were reversible. So I was going to go back in and have them reverse back. And I wondered if they were going to do that.
Not yet. Not yet. I think at some point in time they will, but I don't think it's time yet. I think they're kind of just watching. I don't think they feel anything's going to happen. You know, I want you to understand that. I don't think they're not watching for something to crop up or anything. I think that you're fine. And I think that the reversal will be done at some point in time. I just don't see it done this next year.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, we've got... forgot how... You know, sometimes when you have somebody helping you in the queue and stuff and screening people and everything, you forget how you kind of... are befuddled here and there. Jeannie does an amazing job when she screens people for me, and it does make things a lot easier. We've got 503-805 here. Hi, you're on the air. This
is Barbara.
Hi,
it's October.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good.
I talked to you yesterday.
I had the card drawn for me. It was a RAM.
Okay.
Right. But a quick question. I was taking pictures of our Christmas tree last night and happened to, like, for whatever reason, I pointed it at the ceiling and I took a picture and I got a moving orb. And I was just wondering
cool.
to see if you could pick up anything on that.
It feels as though it's a grandmother. Is your mother's mom in spirit?
Yes.
I think it was your grandmother. She was a Christmas person.
Okay.
And
I
think,
you know,
the tree kind of pulled her in. They love trees. They love holidays. They like anything that sparkles. They're kind of like, you know, I don't like to compare spirits to ravens, but now that I said I don't like to compare people to, but sparkly things do attract them. I think that it's the light, to be honest with you. And I think that when we have, you know, a lot more lights around us, spirits kind of check in to see what's going on. I feel that she's been around you for quite a while here. And I would imagine that you're going to find, if you want to take a whole bunch of pictures, you're going to find orbs all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, I've been told before that I have lots of dead people, spirits or whatever. Yeah. But, I have a lot of people over there. And so, I was curious to know who it was. And that's all.
Well, you know, somebody said, and I don't know who it was, and if I did know, I would give them credit, but they said, I come from a very long line of dead people. And, yeah, we all do. And it's really kind of cool. And you know, lots of times when people cross over and they haven't been really, you know, that spiritually... focused, that it takes them quite a while to kind of figure it all out, and they all eventually do. It's just a matter of waiting for them to get the message, and it's, I think that there is almost a, in a way, new people to the other side are watched with great joy and a sense of humor from time to time. I had one woman whose mother had crossed over, and she was and I apologize if I'm going to insult the Catholics, I don't mean to, but her mother was extraordinarily fervent as far as a Catholic goes. She went to Mass every day. And so when she passed over, first she was very offended to think that a lot of people she was sure were going to go to hell were there. And she insisted on going to Mass every day, and there are churches and temples and mosques and everything on the other side for people who want to continue that practice if they want to. And she was sitting talking to a friend about the message that had been given over, and the friend said, oh, yeah, that's the same thing I heard. And you know, they compared notes, and they found that the same message is given in every house of worship. And she was really outraged by that because, of course, she figured that, you know, her church would have the best answers. And so watching her make the change from, you know, being exclusive and being focused on one particular thought and seeing her blossom into an understanding that you know, it's just unconditional love on the other side, and you know, there is no judgment, and we are welcomed there when we pass over, and it's a party time. And if we've done things that were wrong or unhappy or whatever, I mean, we feel badly for that, but you know, it was charted so that we could gather something. And And when we meet people on the other side that we have possibly not had the best relationship with, there is a healing thing that happens. It's really it's an amazing aspect of evolving into the spiritual realm. And I think a lot of time at first when people cross over is not hunting down people, but finding people that we've had issues with or difficulties with, and realizing how silly and trivial they actually were in the grand scheme of things, and sort of mending fences. Better to mend them down here because then we get extra brownie points for it. But on the other side, you know, it is sort of there is no judgment, and well, you don't judge.
For my grandmother, it's probably, you know, a relief to be over there. She was a hoarder, like the kind that you see on TV. She was. She also had dementia, you know, near the end of her life. And I mean, God bless her. You know, she probably would have lived longer had she not had the accident and taken too much Advil for the pain. But she killed her kidneys, and it was kind of an agonizing death. But you know, she wasn't very close with my mom. You know, and you know, for my mom, it was kind of a relief instead of like feeling sad that she left. So It's interesting that it would be her to visit. Because, yeah, I always felt bad, you know.
Well, you know, the reality is their brain functions. They understand what's going on. They understand what's happening around them. They're not able to work the muscles and to get the speech right and stuff like that. And so there is confusion and disorientation. But In many ways, they do. I find it fascinating that it's called dementia, because Most of them spend time in the other dimension on and off long before they actually cross. So I'm not sure. I mean, I you know, exactly how the name happened, but I have always found it fascinating that with patients who are suffering from dementia, really do spend time in the other dimension. My mom had dementia, and when she had those moments of clarity, she was always angry because she wanted to go back home where she had been before she woke up. And so it was, you know, I didn't understand initially what she was talking about, but you know, after she passed and after I spent time, you know, kind of going over the things that she had said, I realized that she had spent a great deal of time on the other side with family members that had crossed and stuff like that, and she was angry that she had to come back to the physical reality and deal with it. And I know exactly what your mom felt like, that there was relief that she was released, but right. you have to understand that she actually her brain, there was nothing wrong with her brain. You know, she was hearing what people were saying. She just wasn't able to respond. That's sort of like being trapped. And when she was on the other side, she had all of her faculties. So you know, that's where you choose to be for sure. But, she is just so full of joy and so full of excitement that it is remarkable. And your mother shouldn't feel bad if she feels guilty that she was relieved, because it was such a great release. You know, it was her time, and for whatever the reason, that's the way that she chose to go. But you know, being able to flip back and forth between dimensions is a really cool thing.
Is it similar with my uncle, my mother's brother? He's schizophrenic. I mean, is that a similar thing where they're kind of like over in another dimension half the time?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wondered.
Absolutely.
I mean, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And, put the picture on Facebook. It's kind of fun to see those things.
I did, actually. I just sent you a friend request.
Oh, okay, great. I will accept it when I'm off and check out your photo.
Sure. Cool.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. I have Live here. Hi, Live. Whoops, I don't have Live. Now I do. Hi, Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Who is this? I know you're not Live. I don't want to call you Live. What's your first name?
My name's Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
How can I help?
I was wondering if you could give me some advice as far as making a house move with my son and I.
Whew. Where are you living now?
In an apartment. Him and I.
Mm-hmm. It looks like if I were to, are you actually out there looking for another place to live? Are you actively?
I have looked, yes, but I'm wondering, like, financially wise, it's just not happening for me right now.
Yeah, I can see a move in April. April does look like that's a time frame where things shift and change for you. It does look like home changes, and it does feel as though legalities are taken care of and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. So you have a lot of things going on here. But the central card that I threw is abundance. So it does suggest that things are starting to open up for you, and things are starting to loosen up, and things are starting to flow. So that you know, magic and miracles are happening here. Sometimes they don't happen as often as we would like them to. Sometimes magic and miracles take their own sweet time in manifesting, and it does feel like yours are just starting to manifest. So that there is an aspect here of having prayed and asked for and stuff like that, and it does feel as though they're beginning to start to move for you. So it is really pretty exciting.
As far as my son's father and I were actually in, you said legalities, we were going to be going to court as far as custody.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere, he is trying to get custody, which I cannot see happening. My son is 12. Do you see the outcome of that?
I'm seeing legalities taken care of in January. When are you due back in court?
The day after Christmas.
Okay. No, I don't see you losing custody. I don't see that there's any reason you absolutely would.
Right. Yeah, he's just starting trouble. I have no idea why. It's so weird.
Well, it's kind of some people just don't understand the whole stuff about legality. Some people are deluded and I'm going to insult lawyers here, but lawyers, I guess, like deluded clients because they will pay money to do things that they can't possibly win, but the lawyer gets paid. And my philosophy is that nobody wins in a lawsuit except the lawyer.
Right. And, now, I'm not going to bring a lawyer. I don't know if he is.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's bringing a lawyer or not. You take one.
Okay.
You absolutely take one with you. Because you just don't want to be caught unprepared. You take one with you. But again, I am seeing miracles happening. So just sort of, but please don't go unprepared. Absolutely make sure you have one with you. Even if he tells you he's not going to have a lawyer with him, take a lawyer.
Okay. I mean, have you seen anything as far as what his problem, I mean, his girlfriend, I think it's more stemming from his girlfriend. However, there's no kind of, you know, reason for it. We've been broken up for years. I've never bothered them. It's so weird the way that it's like what they're trying to do.
How old is she? Do you know?
Him and I are 30. She's probably like 27, 20 something around there. But I've never ever bothered them. It's so odd what she's trying to do.
How old is your son?
He's 12.
I have a feeling she's not able to have children.
She has a daughter also.
I don't think she's able to have more. I think there's some reason why she can't have any more children. How old is her daughter?
I believe she's like about 10. But the thing is that she's trying to sabotage me in a way that it's almost like it's odd, but there's no way that it's just lies.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think from what I'm seeing here, they don't have a case. There's no reason at all why you would lose custody. But again, they keep reminding me to tell you to have a lawyer, to have someone there to stand by your side. It's absolutely imperative that you be represented.
Okay.
Because I don't understand it, but the legal system is so complicated, and there are so many loopholes, and there are so many strange things out there that to go into a courtroom without a lawyer it's like going swimming in a school of shark with a cut on your hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's just asking to be taken advantage of, and you don't want to do that.
No.
So make sure that you have representation. And I would say, you know, after that you'll be fine. It looks like there is a move as far as home goes in the April time frame. And it does look as though, you know, things move forward for you. It is important though too that I see a lot of books here. Are you in school?
No.
I think it's important that you start, you know, taking some classes, courses, something like that. I see you stretching yourself intellectually.
Okay.
That's important here. But you got great stuff here. And, you know, are you in a relationship now?
No, I actually just ended one not too long ago. But we were together for 3 years.
It looks like there's another relationship coming up towards the fall time frame. So just watch for that, because that does seem to be coming as well. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Get a lawyer.
Bye-bye.
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 Okay, I know that sounded like I was harping on it, but having had more than my share of days in court, I know that it's really, really important to always be represented when you hit a courtroom. Those are times and places where you want to make sure that there's somebody there who actually understands what's going on and what the procedures are and what they mean. And it's a little scary to have to be in that position and suddenly feel like people are ganging up on you. And if you don't have a lawyer, that's exactly how it'll feel. And it will be that way. In one of those cases, don't trust what somebody else says. Get a lawyer. Have somebody there to stand beside you, behind you, whatever. Okay, we've got 203-394. Hi, this is Barbara. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi there. Who is this?
Hi. This is Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen. How can I help today?
I have two grown children, and they both have really pivotal years coming up this coming year. And I was just wondering if you picked up on anything for them. There's just a lot going on.
How old are they?
My daughter is 31, and my son is 33.
Wow, they are pivotal years. Wow. You got Saturn return here. You got all sorts of, wow, heavy-duty stuff.
It's busy. There's a lot. I mean, there's several things that are monumental that I know of for both of them. So.
Well, I guess the first thing that I need to say is they'll all survive.
That's good.
So will you. It feels here as though, as a mother, you know, we always worry.
Right.
My son is 46, and I don't know how that happened, because I'm only 39. No, 46 is old.
I remember when I thought 46 was old.
It's just somehow I don't mind being a grandparent, but to a 7 and a 10-year-old, that's just fine. But a son who's 46, holy crap! Let's take. Is this a son and a daughter?
Right.
And the daughter was which one?
The daughter's the 31-year-old. She's the younger one.
Wow. You know, when I look at these cards and when I look at her, I see pregnancy. I keep seeing pregnancy.
Good girl. Good girl. she's just announced it. Just.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And it
oh,
took
she
a little
pregnant.
While.
Oh,
she is.
Okay.
And it wasn't that easy. So, you know, she's being cautious about talking about it.
Yeah. Well, yes, she's into it by quite a bit. She's into it a couple months, isn't she? 8 weeks at least?
She's, what is she at? She's about 12 now.
Okay.
So I haven't been allowed to discuss it until she hit 12 weeks.
No, I am absolutely. I would have been cautious too. It will be a good pregnancy, because she's a fanatic. She's an absolute fanatic. You know, she may drive you crazy. No. Wow. I'm going to quit and go home now.
Yeah. Well done.
It'll be a safe pregnancy, and because she's such a fanatic, she'll probably declare she's never doing it again.
She's threatening to. she can't even deal everybody being so excited about it.
Yeah, well, wait till she starts to really put on some weight here. Because she's really, really, I think she would have rather done this surrogately, to be honest with you. But anyhow, my daughter-in-law did both of the births, you know, surrogately, and, you know, she doesn't have a stretch mark on her body. It's disgusting.
Oh, that's cheating. So cheating.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love my grandchildren very, very much, but you know, somehow when she's still a size 4, it really hurts. I went shopping with her once. She said, "I don't know whether to get a size 2 or a size 4. And I just looked at her and I said, "Get a 4. Life can be harsh."
Seriously.
Okay, so she's going to be fine. She's. I have to say that I would watch for. Now, I know hormonally pregnant women have, you know, mood swings and stuff like this. She's going to be a real princess. I think that there is a strong possibility there may be some baby blues after the birth of the baby. But all in all, she's going to be fine.
Any guesses as to a boy or a girl?
It's one or the other. I totally am, this is an area that I just have no success in. Even I don't even have a good record as far as knowing I stink at it and trying to go the other direction. I still don't have a 50%. So no, not at all.
Okay.
It will be healthy. I can tell you that. It will be healthy. And
good.
And again, the only thing that I really have to suggest to you is, you know, just sort of she has the capacity to over investigate and over educate herself on things, and
right.
She tends to often look in the negative rather than the positive fields.
Right.
So
the other thing she's doing is she's also applying to grad school now, and actually for nursing, for nurse practitioner. And yeah, she hasn't heard yet if she has an interview. So that's the other thing that's up in the air for her. She's asking to do an awful lot at once, I think. But
oh, no, but that's good. That's good. Of course, you know, you put her in the delivery room and she's going to have a fit. So I'm sorry. I feel her kind of uptightish, and being a parent, you can't be that way. You know, I think she has some great awakenings coming here. Her husband does have a great sense of humor, does he not?
Yeah, he does.
Oh wow,
that's
and he's
thing.
Mellow.
You know, they kind of take turns being difficult, so it's worked out okay so far.
Well, I got to tell you, this is going to be fun to watch. And you know, try not to. She's very superstitious.
Yeah,
so,
that's why I haven't been allowed to talk about it until just now.
Yeah, but also don't go buying a whole bunch of stuff ahead of time and everything. You've already started,
right.
Haven't you? Okay.
Well.
All right, better to sit, you know, why don't you learn how to knit and knit a baby blanket? That would be a good thing for you to do.
Okay.
I just, you know, if she sees that you've bought a whole bunch of stuff, she's going to flip out. So.
Oh, I won't let her see anything, no.
Okay.
No.
But, no, she's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. It's going to be fun to watch, you know, and try not to laugh in her face. Wait till she's out of the room to giggle and guffaw.
I've already gotten in trouble for that, so
uh-huh.
I'm trying. I was told I was mean.
Oh, yeah. Just wait till the baby arrives and she doesn't know what, and she's going to be afraid to touch it. Yeah, she's definitely, she'll be fun to watch. She'll be fun
yeah.
to watch. And your son, is he going through, I'm feeling really strongly here that he may be considering a career change.
Well, yeah, he's actually not in the country right now. The best job offer he could get was actually in Abu Dhabi. And he's trying to decide if he wants, he works for university there. And he's trying to decide if he wants to apply for a permanent job there. He works, he's on a 2-year contract now, or if he wants to come back here. Meanwhile, his fiancée is in Georgia finishing her PhD. And when I say it's all up in the air,
mm-hmm.
it's seriously all up in the air. So his contract is up in a few months, and he's not quite sure where he wants to look, what he wants to do, and it would affect when they plan their wedding.
What does he teach?
Well, he's not. He does research. He's an organic chemist.
Huh.
And
I hate to say this, and I know you're not going to like it. I think you should stay there.
All right, that's it. You were good with daughters. No, really. He loves it there. Honestly, he does.
And there's I'm sorry, there's greater potential there for his career, for his research, for everything. And you know, please don't anybody accuse me of not being American, because I am and I love the country. But to opportunities for young people, it's not here anymore.
No, it's not, and that's all I hear about.
And I'm sorry. I think that she'll love it there, too. She's been. Has she been yet?
Yeah, she loved it. She's hoping she can find, yeah.
They belong there. And not only that, I think it will be a fabulous place for both of them to grow. And I think that this country has a rebirth that it has to go through, and there is a whole bunch of unrest here. And politically speaking, we're just in the toilet. So to be in a country where things are, I know they're not perfect anywhere, but it feels for their careers and for life as we know it. Gosh, I think they're better off there. I really do.
Okay.
Get a plane ticket. Well, no, of course it is. But you know, it means. I mean, you've not been, have you?
No. It's very hard for me to get away. Very.
I know. But that's what Skype is for.
Well, that's right. That's right.
I do believe that once you have the opportunity to see and to understand, you won't like it, but you'll agree. Sorry.
No, that's depressing. Okay, so I'm half happy and half depressed.
And just remember that I'm just a spiritual empath. I'm not God, so it isn't my, you know, from my mouth to God's ears. Anything can come in here, but I do believe that they really will do much better over there. And the credentials, especially with research with your son, especially with research.
Right. Oh, there's so little opportunity for research here anymore. It's tragic.
And not only that, but there have been a lot of discoveries that have been bought out by corporations and hidden away.
Yeah.
That would have benefited the country greatly. So, you know, having discoveries outside of this country means that your ideas may well make it into the general population.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, great. And as far as, like, they're talking about a spring wedding, any guess as to if this actually will fall into place? Everything is so up in the air with where everybody's going to be. She's actually Romanian, living in the United States in Georgia, and I mean, really, it's complicated.
I would say that it looks like May. That's when everything here goes crazy for you, and everything is you know, topsy-turvy, and you go crazy because you don't have time to sleep, but that's okay. You know, you don't need sleep.
Okay.
It looks like May.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Thanks. That's really what I was... those are the two topics I wanted to hit on tonight.
All righty. Well...
All right. Thank you so much.
You're so very welcome. It's lovely. You know, it's kind of fun to actually confirm that there's a pregnancy. I mean, for heaven's sakes.
That was easy. That was like, no, boom, right to it. Good girl. Instant.
every now and then.
Yeah, and it wasn't really easy. She's had a lot of surgeries and when she was younger on her ovaries, and they weren't quite sure how they were going to work for her. So, and they seem to be working just fine. Yes, they are.
and you know something? After one, she is going to say, okay, they can shut down now.
She's, we're going to see. We're going to see. We don't know all that much yet. She'll be going,
in the end of this week, and they'll get to hear the heartbeat. And I guess they would be able to tell if there's more than one, you know, at that point. She was just hoping that there'd be two to get it over with, because she is just not, she's not finding this to be as much fun as she had thought it would be.
No, not at all.
No. So if it were going to happen that there was more than one, they would know pretty quick here, and then we could all relax that we only had to do this once. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
I think whether it's one, two, or three, it's the only one. So.
Well, it would probably be the safest thing for everybody. Healthy baby's fine. That's what I want to hear. So
it's a healthy baby.
Excellent.
It's a healthy
All
baby.
Right. Thank you so much, Barbara. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome. And you know, get back to us and let us know how things are going.
Okay. Terrific. Thanks. All right.
Bye-bye now. Okie doke. I've got 480-999. Hi, you're on the air. 480-480-999. I almost said the whole number. Okay, once, twice. Okay, sorry. You probably went to the bathroom or something, but there are other people waiting, so we will just move on. I have 856-776. Hi, this is Barbara, 856-776. Another person. This is easy. Let me see. Okay, we've got 210-257. This is so cool. Chris, this is like your thing. Everybody's gone. Nobody's here. Hold on. Oh, wait a minute. Hi.
I'm here.
210. Hi. 257.
Hi.
Hi. Who is this?
This is Yvette.
Who is
this?
Okay,
Yvette. How you doing?
Okay. Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Listen, I heard that you're really good with past lives, and so I was wondering if you could tell me where I've been so I can figure out why I'm here.
Okay, well, I can tell you that you're a very free spirit, that the element of freedom is really, really important to you. And that you are a fanatic about being put in closed places. I'm feeling that you get claustrophobic from time to time. Is that appropriate?
Yes, I didn't used to, but I do. But I get mostly claustrophobic from people.
Yeah.
You know.
You've had a number of past lives where the element of claustrophobia actually. Is what was your demise. You were in a during the French Revolution when the Patriots went into the palace and tore the palace apart, you were in that crowd and you got trampled to death. So that the element of a crowd trampling you, you will never be at Black Friday first opening or anything like that.
Oh, no. Never.
No. You will not be in a crowd that is surging for sure. And if I take you back even further, there are a number of past lives where you've been swept away, so to speak, by crowds. You've been carried away by crowds. If I take you back to, one of the Crusades. I think it was one of the earlier ones, the Children's Crusade. And as a child, you were in the Children's Crusade. You marched off to war because you were hungry and you followed the food, basically. I don't think that you were quite patriotic. You were just hungry. And it happens, you know.
Hey.
And actually, the you were in that lifetime. You were a young boy, and while you had, while you tried real hard, the element of actually killing somebody else or someone else was something that you couldn't handle, and you died fairly early in that particular crusade. I don't think you even made it very far at all. Probably into France, and then you you were killed. I mean that in some ways explains the claustrophobia. You also were closed into one of the tombs in Egypt with a whole bunch of other people. You were an artisan in that lifetime, and this goes back about 4,000 years. You were an artisan, and you worked on one of the tombs, and you were someone of extreme talent, and because they didn't want the location of the tomb ever to be discovered, all of the artisans that worked on it were buried inside of it, so they were sealed in, and you were one of those. So I would think, you know, extreme dark and crowds, definitely not a place for you.
Yeah, definitely not.
it you didn't go easily in that lifetime. But let's hit some of the lifetimes that you were kind of more of a free spirit, where you were able to celebrate your eclecticness, and you are weird, which is really cool. you like to be different. You celebrate your difference, and you don't flaunt it, but you just enjoy it, and that's an important part of life as we know it. I want to take you back 2,500 years. I want to take you into the Russian steppes. Here's a place where you were part of that tribe that raised the horses, that raced across the steppes, that you loved. This is a lifetime you were a woman, and you loved riding bareback on the horses, and you loved just sort of clutching the neck of the horse and being carried almost like you were flying. And there was an aspect of feeling as though you were flying when you were riding on these horses at a dead run, and they just skimmed the earth. And there was an element of feeling the power of the horse beneath you and just being carried forward in time. It was an element that you just absolutely loved. And when you got older and they said you were too old to ride the horses anymore, you dressed as a boy and rode the horses as a boy because you really needed to have that feeling of freedom, that feeling of flying. And it was an aspect of life that you took great, great joy in. You helped in raising the horses. You helped in training the horses. You weren't able to race them, but you would have loved to. And anytime you had a chance, you would climb on one and you just take off. And for an entire day, you would ride that horse. And the horses loved it too. They just, you didn't weigh but nothing. And they loved the freedom and the feeling of being able to just run. Breakneck speed, just run. It's almost like, you know, how dogs hang their heads out windows of cars and stuff like that? That was the feeling that it was just, you know, the wind in your face and feeling that you were flying. It was phenomenal. And if I take you back 8,000 years to Tibet, into the Himalayas, you were a monk in this lifetime, and you were a monk that was able to levitate. The element of freedom, the element of being free from the bounds of the bindings, the bounds, the connections with the earth, is really, really important. It was really important to you, and there was a sense here of being able to fly, to float. You could float, you couldn't fly, but you spent a great deal of time in a weightlessness type of atmosphere where you weren't connected to the earth and you were sort of one with the ether, and you were well known for this ability, this talent. As a matter of fact, from time to time they would put a cord around you so that you didn't drift off. And it was, you know, this was how you chose to spend almost an entire lifetime, because you were one with the universe. You were linked into other dimensions. It was almost a way of you escaping into another reality, which indeed that's exactly what you were doing.
Right.
This lifetime, you do that. In dream state, you almost are Walter Mitty-ish in many cases, and, you know, most of us are. But it does feel here as though you have remembrances of times of great freedom and not being connected to the earth. And there's a part of you that really does kind of want to find that feeling yet again. You are doing it in dream state because you are astral traveling. You do travel after you go to sleep. And a lot of times you wake up very tired, because you've obviously been doing stuff on in other dimensions, and it does feel as though you are an interdimensional traveler, that your astral traveling is not of this realm. So you probably have a lot of stories you can tell, and I strongly suggest you start writing them down.
Yes, that makes sense, because I do wake up tired, and I do remember several years and years back when I finally decided that I wanted to be here, you know, on this plane. Mm-hmm. I felt my soul seat into my body, and it felt so heavy. I was like, this is horrible. what a heavy existence we have. feeling of gravity and...
Yeah, but you know, you have the capacity to, with your creativity, you have the capacity to transcend that, and it's a matter of taking your creative ability and weaving the stories of when you had no weight, when you had the freedom of spirit to go where you wanted to go and do what you wanted to do. You the interdimensional aspect to your spirit is profound. And I'm not saying that you travel into the dimension of those who have crossed over, because that's not where you're traveling. So,
no, it's like alternate universes, right?
Alternate
like
realities.
Universes that exist right now.
Mm-hmm.
That exist. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and that makes perfect sense to what it's like. It's like they're parallel universes, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's string theory. It's sort of stuff. And what you've got going on here is a wonderful connection. I'd start writing about them. I'd start putting it down on paper. I'd start channeling it and weaving them into books, pamphlets, articles, whatever, and sharing it with other people, because you have wonderful information here, and you have a great sense of humor, so you're not going to take it so damn seriously that you'll bore people to death. And
right.
and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You don't want to bore people. You want to educate them. You want to share experiences, and it's wonderful. It's you know, there was a time when you and I would not be talking, because this kind of philosophy would be totally unaccepted, and both of us would be in padded cells. But that's not the case now.
I get it, because I understand the laws of physics, because I was a physics major my first time I went to college. And so I get I understand the interdimensional thing very well. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me.
And the reality here is, you know, you've got, I'd start writing it down. I think you will see that there is a book that easily writes itself, and that a long time ago, talking about people going into another dimension when they pass over was forget it, doesn't happen.
Right.
And now it's, and so what else is new? And what else is new is the fact that there are other dimensions out there, that some of us are capable of touching into those other dimensions and understanding, how far we have yet to go. And so it's really a very exciting time now that the other side, as another dimension, is accepted and a part of reality, and that there is reincarnation, and that there are extraterrestrials and all sorts of cool stuff. But the other dimensions, cool, absolutely cool, and I absolutely think you ought to start playing with it, because you have just no idea how spectacular it can be when you turn yourself over to spirit and let spirit do the, and you channel it. You don't have to think about it, and you don't have to write
it.
Okay,
that was my next question, is I don't have to figure out what it is I need to write. I can just let it write itself. Because I wouldn't even know how to begin to explain what I think I might know.
Well, and that's true. You don't know what you know, because your intellectual part, the intellectual part of you, doesn't have a faintest idea. But if you start with doing stream of consciousness writing, if you bore your brain to the point where your ego goes out to lunch, takes a nap, or whatever, then spirit takes over, and your book is written.
Wow. Okay. So do you think it should be story form or nonfiction? Or just let it come, however. I mean, I was thinking adult or young adult fiction because I love young adult fiction. I learned so much from it when I was a kid, you know, reading the young adult fiction.
Yes, but that's your brain thinking, and you don't know what your spirit has in mind. I would just sort of open up to everything and see what happens. Try not to think, try not to organize, try not, you know, you sit down and you say, okay, you know, I have a story to tell. What is it? And let it become what it's supposed to, because your spirit will know. Your consciousness, not so much, but your spirit will know.
Right, gotcha. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, if you have trouble with it, you know, get a hold of me and I'll help as best I can.
I appreciate that. That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Take care of it. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, these people I said weren't here appear to be here. So let's see. Let's try again. 480-999. Hi,
yes.
This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
How are you doing? I'm doing great.
I'm Shruti. I heard you before, but I guess he could not hear me.
Nope, I didn't hear you. How can I help?
I was wondering if you could picking up any messages from my spirit guide or anything about my career and finances.
Career really pops out in the cards that I've thrown for you. It does feel here as though career is something that is going through a change. I feel that there are books all around you, so that it looks as though there's a need for you to sort of expand your abilities, expand your techniques, and it does. Are you currently now working?
Yes, I'm lucky. I'm working. Yes.
You're very lucky. It looks like the job is changing. It looks like there is reorganization of some sort and that you're going to be getting more responsibilities. So do pay attention to doors as they open, because a new balance is coming and it does feel as though you're going to be moving into a new aspect, a new area of career. It does feel as though you're going to work very, very hard between now and the beginning of February. It's almost as though there's a sense of what is it you're doing?
I'm doing actually a lot of different things. I'm in a rotation program right now, so I'm rotating into for 1 year. I'm doing systems engineering, like writing requirements, facilitating interface documentations. I'm also helping out with project management.
Development.
So I'm doing a lot of things.
Yeah, your job is you know, fine and safe and secure, which is a cool thing to say to somebody. It does feel as though you're working very hard at catching up, because you have some catching up to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels here as though probably I'm seeing a balance coming in the March time frame, and as you hit the June time frame, here's where I see you kind of being set free from a lot of the difficulties and the burdens you've been carrying. So by the June time frame, it feels like things are smoothed out quite a bit for you.
Okay, that makes sense, because this rotation will end at that time.
Okay, well, the element of the element of work is really your main focus here. Everything is focused on work. Everything is focused on using work to put your life back in order, to give a new balance to you and a new direction to you, so that you can start to do the things you really love to do.
Okay, that's good news. Are you picking up anything about promotion around May, June timeframe?
That would happen around the June timeframe as well. That's where I see, things really starting to open up for you.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm putting in my effort right now for that. So I was just wondering.
Okay, great.
That's good news. Yeah, so you're right on target in terms of the timing and the work and everything like that. So, and no messages from my guardians or angels.
The messages from spirit are really focused on work. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get you know, just remember you have things that you want to accomplish, and you can't accomplish them if you don't get this work thing under your belt and going better. So they're just basically saying, you know, get on with it.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Have a happy holidays.
To you as well. Bye-bye.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. And we've got 856-776. Hi, you're on the air. Oops, you're not on the air. Now you're on the air. Hi there. 856-776. Are you there? Nobody's home. Okay. I that's great because this times out just absolutely exceedingly well here. I don't know why that surprises me. The universe always does that. It does a very good job of keeping things in balance if you let it. I don't always let it. What we've got going on here at this time of year is really very, very profound. And it is amazing how things are shifting and changing for all of us. I'm very grateful when this year is going to be over and we're into 2014. But you know, when we reach the end of a year, like we're coming to, it is a good time to do looking back, taking stock, seeing how well we've done in some areas and what areas we feel we need to have more work on. I do understand that the universe has the main tally sheet. That you know, all we have to look from and to look at is our own perception, and that's always skewed. But what we've got going on here is this is a wonderful time for us to take a look at all we have accomplished. Don't look at what you haven't done. Please pay attention to what you have done, because that's far more important. There's an old Christian hymn, "Count your blessings, count them one by one." And I would strongly urge that you do that in this time frame we have before the end of the year. Just look at all the things you've accomplished and sit down. And I tell people usually to take a very, very long piece of string, and every time you have a blessing or accomplishment, something that you finished, tie a little knot in it. And by the time you're finished, you should be able to tie the string together, and then you can put it over your head and wear it so that you understand, you know, when times get depressing or dark, or you feel a little bit discouraged, you can feel all of those knots and remember all of the blessings that you have, all of the things that you have achieved. I am so grateful for friends. I am so grateful for Blog Talk Radio, for having the opportunity to sit and talk to so many people in so many parts of the world, and to get feedback and to learn from so many different people. You got to understand that readers, like everybody else, you know, we learn every time we talk to somebody, and we do teach, but at the same time we learn from the people that we're teaching, so that it's a wonderful give and take. A reading is not a one-sided thing. It's a two-sided thing. And the reader is being, you know, the questions that the querent gives to the reader, it triggers something in both of them so that information comes out and is blended and is put on the table, and both take benefit from it. So that you know, this is one of the many blessings that I have. I'm grateful for all my cats. Nobody got sick this year, knock on wood. We have so many things to be grateful for, that we survived the day, that we paid the bills, you know, that we had to pay, that we struggled and we succeeded in completing something, whether it's a paper for a class or whether it's reading a book that we had to read that we didn't want to read. And it's really important that you understand that it's the little blessings that go together to make the great blessing. And if you acknowledge the little blessings, then the great blessings do come. It's a matter of when you acknowledge what the universe has shared with you, when you acknowledge what the universe has given you, then the universe in turn just ups the ante and makes them bigger and bigger and bigger. So take that time to sit with people, to sit with friends, and not talk about what didn't get finished or done, but what did. And you know, all of us have stuff that we have finished, stuff that we have accomplished. I never thought that I would ever be traveling again, and I'm looking at my calendar and I'm thinking, how the heck did this happen? But suddenly the universe wants me to travel, and it's you know, there's a part of me that thinks, well, and there's another part of me that thinks this is incredible. This is another opportunity to reach out and to actually meet people in other places, in other cities, in other states. Mary Peeler and I are going to be down in Pensacola in March. That's certainly something that I never expected, nor Mary did either. But do understand that this is a time of year to really, instead of worrying about what are you going to give to who or how are you going to do this or whatever, to take that precious time to find an evening when you can sit quietly by a tree or a Hanukkah light or to just sit quietly in a very peaceful place. And go back over the last year. You're going to find that there are so many blessings that you have in your life, and you want to remember them because they're what they create the foundation. They are what you're building upon as you go into next year. And understand that those blessings, you know, you spent 12 months achieving them. And you've achieved great things. If you've touched people's lives, if you've been able to manifest something unusual, if you know, there's so many areas. So do count your blessings. Do keep a tally sheet of them to remind yourself of just how awesome you all are, because you are absolutely the most awesomest. I know, not a word. So I will be back on Wednesday next, and Rachel will be with me. And I'm sure that James will come back and be very, very, he will most probably be very contrite about missing, because he guaranteed me that he would be here, but that's okay. He's probably, hopefully he got held over for an extra show or something like that. Anyhow, I do thank all of you for being here. I so greatly appreciate all of you. Thank you, Isabel, so much for being the meter greeter, because I can't do it all. And I'm sure Ginny will be back with us too. In the meantime, I will see all of you later on next week. Have a great one.